I'm in the way. Oh, come on and say amen. Sometimes it does get dark in my life, but I believe that if I just keep going, whenever he tells me to move, whenever I move in the direction of God, then I believe that along the way he's going to.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
If you'll stand to your feet, get your Bibles. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time of hearing your word. Let the Holy Ghost meet us in the text and tailor the truth that we are teaching today, that every hearer's heart might hear what you have to say to us. Bless your people in a special way, I pray. And Father, we give you all praise, glory, even in advance, yes, for what you choose to do in this place and your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And I won't spend much time dealing with the context, but I want to deal with the text of Acts 10 and 38. And it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. When we look at this word, Peter is dealing with many things. He's talking about the fact that God is no respecter of persons. In the verses that surround this verse, he's dealing with the fact that God sent Jesus and peace came through Jesus and the word which Jesus preached, the salvation, the deliverance, all that he represented in the peace personified. And he gets down to this verse where we are in verse 38. And here's where I want to park and spend just a little time dealing with it, because it's actually referencing the messianic ministry of Jesus Christ and helping us to understand that Peter has already declared that he was Lord. And there are some things that we will see in the text that would help us better understand the ministry of Jesus in the messianic context that will be helpful, I think, again, in understanding how God deals with those whom he has destined to do certain things. When we begin to look at this word, it talks about how God anointed Jesus. And this word anointed carries several meanings and descriptions to the very word anointing. But one of the things that's most special about it is that it deals with the consecration. When God anointed Jesus, he consecrated Jesus for this messianic office, for that he will do and has done, and help us to understand why he had the ability to do the things that he did. And so understanding this anointing, this special anointing, you will remember when he was baptized in Jordan by John. God sent the Holy Spirit down upon him, who descended down upon him like a dove. And he gave to him not only the person of the Holy Spirit, but the power of the Holy Spirit in limitless form. Now, God always, and keep this in mind, always gives the proper anointing for the proper assignment. Jesus would not have needed an unlimited amount of anointing if his assignment was not as great as it was. And one of the things that I think is going to be helpful for us understanding our personal ministries is understanding that as God did with Jesus, so does he do with us. And he anoints us for a certain call, for a certain work, for a certain ministry. He gives us the ability to do that job according to his own word and will. Now, God is too wise a God to waste his anointed on those who aren't appointed. I think I'll say that again. God is too wise of a God to waste his anointing on those who aren't appointed. In other words, you don't need power to do nothing. Yeah, you need power to accomplish what God has assigned to your hands to do. Why? Because when God assigns you to a purpose, then he knows it requires his power in order to perform that purpose. And it must be divine power in order to have a divine completion. And so he gives the divine anointing upon the vessel or upon the person to complete the divine assignment so that God is pleased. And so he starts this off with anointing Jesus of Nazareth. He consecrates him. And look at what the word says. He anoints him with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost first. Now, why is this so important? Because the people of God need to understand you can't do work, real meaningful work for God, without the presence and the person and the power of the Holy Ghost. You can go through the motions and the form and have a godliness and form of godliness, but you will not have the power without the person of the Holy Ghost indwelling you and utilizing his power so much so that you are able to accomplish it in a divine fashion. Let me say this to you. You are no match for the devil by yourself. The devil will defeat you every time because you are no match. He's the prince of this air, of this world. He's been given that authority. He has the right over the airwaves of this world. The only way the devil can mess with you is you have relationship with Jesus Christ and power through the Holy Ghost. And it is because of the relationship you have with Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost, who has been sent to be our other comforter and to be our other guide and to be our other guard and to be our other teacher. He is the one who will handle the stuff you can't handle.
Yes, sir.
So that means you've got to have the Holy Ghost.
Come on, come on.
If you're going to do anything worthwhile for God, tell somebody you got to have the Holy Ghost. Ain't no second thoughts about it. The Holy Ghost must be present to deal with Holy Ghost matters. Spiritual matters. The Holy Ghost sees stuff you can't see. The Holy Ghost hears stuff you can't hear. The Holy Ghost knows stuff you don't know. And the Holy Ghost can handle stuff you can't handle. So you need the Holy Ghost. You're going through this. You're on your way about your assignment to do this, that, and the other. You don't see the pit, the downfall. You don't see the setup that the enemy has set up. But the Holy Ghost does. And he'll put an unction in your spirit. Wait, slow down. He'll tell you stop, and you're wondering, why am I stopping? You start wondering, why do I feel like that? That's something I can't put my finger on it, but I got a feeling. And it's the Holy Ghost unctioning you and urging you about something. And so you're like, I need to have a conference with the Holy Ghost on this matter. And he'll reveal to you certain things. And he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. All truth. And so it behooves me to think that there are folk who can come into the church of God and take positions in the church of God and don't have the power that God requires them to have to function in those positions. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth first with the Holy Ghost. And the conjunction here ties the Holy Ghost with power. Because the power in this original form comes from the Greek word dunamis here. Listen, which means force power, which means life-changing, miracle-working power. It literally means the ability to be explosive.
Yes.
See, sometimes you got to have power that can just blow some stuff up. You got to have some power when ain't no reason, ain't no talking, you ain't got no time to be wasting, that the Spirit of the living God can handle that situation instantly. It's in his hands. Sometimes there's a need for a life-changing situation instantly. The Holy Ghost can do it because you've got that power in the Holy Ghost. And every situation that you encounter, having the Holy Ghost automatically means that you've got sufficient power for every situation. Isn't that good news? to know that whatever the problem is, you've got the adequate power to handle it. You'll never be power insufficient or power deficient, but you'll always have more than enough power to get the job done. Acts 1 and 8 says, ye shall receive power. When am I going to receive that power? After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You ain't going to get Holy Ghost power, ain't got Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost power means the Holy Ghost comes before the power. So when you've got the person of the Holy Ghost, then you have the possession of the Holy Ghost, which is the power of the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus is anointed, consecrated, set aside to do this messianic work. And he's anointed with the presence of the person and possession of the power of the Holy Ghost first. Yeah. Now that he has that in order, look at what follows next. Who went about doing good? Yeah. Can I tell you, when you're equipped with the Holy Ghost and power, you're equipped to do good.
Yes.
You're equipped to handle every situation that comes your way. You're equipped to change things, restore things, resurrect things, make things that are out of order come back into order when you've got that kind of power. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why? Because you got power. Power. Listen, the power is not limited to the problem, but the problem is limited to your power. Somebody missed that. Well, let me put it this way. Your problems are not greater than your power. And since your problems are not greater than your problems, then you don't really have a problem. If your problems are not greater than your power, if you don't have any problem that can outweigh your power, then why would you not go around doing good? Using your power for good. You're not afraid of the enemy because the enemy is afraid of you. Matter of fact, when they hear the name of Jesus, demons start trembling. Why? Because they don't know if today is the day that their life ends, that it's all over for them, that time has come. And so at the name of Jesus, demons tremble because they know their ability is not greater than his power. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And it's sad that you've got church folk don't know he's Lord when you got demons in hell who know that he's Lord. So now he goes around doing good. That's another reason why the demons didn't want him around, because whatever bad was going on, he made it good. Whatever was wrong, he made it right. Whatever was crooked, he made it straight. Wherever there were valleys, he turned them and flipped them around and made them mountains. He turned things around because things did not have power over him. Could you imagine how exciting life was for Jesus? Every encounter Jesus had, he went into that encounter knowing, I got this. Somebody had this problem? I got this. You know, they're crying out, blind Bartimaeus, crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They're telling him, shut up, don't say nothing, don't bother Jesus with all of that. But he cried the more, the louder. Jesus heard him and told him, bring him to me.
Yes.
Brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at his eyes and looked at him. Say, you want to see, don't you? Uh-huh. Boom. Some folk didn't want to believe, so some things you got to do just because folk like all of the rhetoric, they like all of the pomp and circumstance, or they like all of the rituals. So that was another man blind. Jesus spat on the guy, ground, made clay, put the spittle on his eye, told him, go wash.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
He came back, he was seeing, but he wasn't seeing clearly.
Yeah.
He said, I see men as trees. He said, boy, you ain't seeing right, go back and wash again.
Yeah.
Got his sight. And he can say, I can see clearly now. Well, that's another story there. But everything that Jesus dealt with, he's ministering to the multitudes on the mountain. They've been there for a long time. The people are getting hungry and weak now because they've got a long journey back to their various villages. The disciples said, well, Jesus, it's time to let the people go. Jesus had compassion. He's like, no, we can't let the people go like this. Yeah, we have fed their spirit man, but their physical man needs some nourishment. One of the disciples get a bright idea, say, well, you know, Lord, we only got 200 pennies in the treasure, and ain't no nearby store. Another one reports, well, there's a lad here with two small fish and five barley loaves. But what is that so among so many? Jesus said, how much he got? Two small fish and five loaves. Make the men sit down. And lots of 50. Jesus said, I got this. And he took the two small fish and the five loaves of bread and he lifted it up to the Lord and he blessed it. Break it and gave it to his disciples. Told them to pass it out. And he broke. And every time he broke a piece, it multiplied. Two small fish fed 5,000, not including women and children, and all he did was bless it and break it.
Yeah.
So much so that when it was all left over, there were 12 baskets full. Full. There was no challenge that came before Jesus. Widow of Nain, Jesus coming in town, they're on their way out of town. She's weeping as her only son there, being brought in a coffin to his grave. Jesus stops the funeral procession, put his hand on the casket, raises the boy up, returns him back to his mother, and said, I got this. I really don't like funerals anyway. I mean, every instance in the word. Why? Because he was Lord. Peter declared that. God's anointing was on him. He had the presence of the Holy Ghost and power. And he went about doing good. Wasn't just one kind of good, it was all of the good that was necessary in every situation. Then the Bible says, and healed all that were oppressed of the devil. And healing actually is what it says. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, though it has a past tense reference, pragmatically it has a present tense application. I think I'll say it again. It has a past tense reference. This is what he did. But I got news. That he has left going on today is still doing today what he started yesterday. Doing good, not did good, as in past tense. How many of you know in and through the name of Jesus right now, we're still doing good in his name? How many of you know he's still healing those who are oppressed of the devil right now through his name? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now here's what's interesting, because when you look up this word oppressed, and a lot of times, you know, you find the ability to overpower someone, a potentate, a power, a leader, one who has greater power than the other, who oppresses another. And all of these are true, because that's what the devil does. The devil works with so many things. The devil works with your mind. The devil works with your fears. The devil works with your thoughts and with things that bring you to a place of doubt. The devil works with things, and the devil works through people, and the devil has so much to work with to oppress you. The devil works with sickness. The devil works with, you know, circumstances, with finances, with on and on and on. The devil does all these things to oppress you in many different arenas. But when I looked that word up, oppress, and found another meaning that I had not seen before, it says the ability to oppress one with one's own power. Did you hear what I said? In other words, the devil can make you hurt you without lifting a finger to hurt you. The devil can make you think so many kinds of defeated thoughts that the devil doesn't have to lift a hand to destroy you. You'll destroy yourself. The devil doesn't have to take your life. The devil can just plant life-taking thoughts in your mind that he's able to oppress you, where you will take your own life, and he doesn't even have to lift a hand. The devil can convince you that you're nothing, will never be nothing, and he ain't got to put nothing or nobody against you but your own mind, and you'll be defeated by your own mind, because the word says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So he can use you against you to defeat you if you don't know the tricks he's working with. And the greatest trick he's working with sometimes is you yourself. It's one thing for somebody else to hurt me. It's another thing for me to hurt myself. And the devil can use those who don't know the word enough to know that he can use you against you like nothing else to destroy you.
Amen.
You say you're defeated, you're defeated. Because when you begin to think those defeated thoughts, your mind programs your attitude, and your attitude programs your actions, and your actions are programmed for defeat. And you sabotage your own life because you let the devil
convince you that you were nothing, that you were not a victor, that you were not a winner, that you could not succeed, that you could not do it, that you were not what God